Hey, this is Russell, and I work at the video store, the place that we can all go to every week when it's movie night. On days like today, interesting people pop in to rent something. We go through the films that they've loved across their life, and we are just here to help you figure out what you could be watching on streaming platforms and out in cinemas. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop. Did you see that thing yesterday on the TV? Good morning, chaps.
Morning.
Howdy.
Howdy.
How you doing?
Oh, we're a little bit of southern today.
I know.
How are you, Cole?
I'm fine.
Just
so
fine.
Excited.
And you, G-Force?
All right, dude. How are you?
I'm lekker, man. Nice. I'm lekker. Today's a good day.
It is a good day.
Hey. Thank you, everyone, for wandering into our video store. It's lovely to have you. Mm. Today on the show, we are going to have Karuna Lind Dever. She is a very celebrated performer, dancer, actor.
Extraordinary human being.
Extraordinary human
Amazing
being.
Amazing friend.
Yeah, who's been a good friend of Cole's, who I've come to watch and really appreciate over the course of these shows. You sort of really like, she's so enchanting on stage. She's so talented.
Yeah.
And we are just so proud of the and happy for her that she is the lead in Mamma Mia, which is happening right now at Monte Cassino. She is the daughter in Mamma Mia.
Yeah, Amanda Seyfried's
right. Character.
I don't know what the character's name is, sorry.
And so tickets are mostly sold out.
Oh, wow.
For this run, but you can give it a little Google, Mamma Mia at Monte Cassino, and you can buy your tickets.
At the Teatro,
which is the big one.
The big one.
And so it'll be lovely to see personally how someone does this kind of show. You know, it's one thing to perform every now and again or do a quick little run of something, but to do this every day for months,
yeah,
is
basically
wild.
Every day Monday's off.
It's wild.
I think it's that.
So let's get into it.
Amazing.
Cole, you are obviously friends with her.
Yeah.
So no, please be a part of this chat.
Okay, I'd love to.
And let's get into it. Okay, this is Karuna popping in to rent something. How's it?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
It's so good to see you.
So lovely to see you.
The few times we've interacted has been more one-sided. It's been more you singing at me or dancing at me because I've been such a big fan of all the productions that you've been in.
Oh, thank you so much, Russ. Yeah.
And of course, I'm also there for Cole.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who's often behind you holding the bass guitar. But I've taken such great joy in seeing you perform, and I'm so happy for you right now.
Right now.
Seeing your friends do well. It's the best thing in the world.
So we're going to talk about where you are at right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of the productions in the past were there was that great Disney production. What was that called?
The Man and the Mouse.
The Man and the Mouse.
Yeah.
Simply Broadway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is, for anyone that doesn't know, productions of loyal customer Brett de Gruyts, who's been
here
before.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. One of our favorite customers who's been on the show. You are in Mamma Mia.
Yes.
And you're not just sort of like the tree in the back or part of the cast. Who are you in Mamma Mia?
I am fortunate enough to play Sophie Sheridan.
Okay.
And yeah.
That's the daughter, hey?
Yes.
That's Amanda Seyfried's character.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yay!
Okay. And how is it going?
It's extraordinary. I think when I kind of got cast in the show, it was the most surreal experience. I remember exactly where I was. I know these situations are so cheesy. Like, you always hear people going,
No.
I remember
Bring it
exactly
on.
Where I was. And, you know, but literally, I was on Buckingham Avenue, just about to turn onto Conrad Drive when my agent called me and on my, you know, Bluetooth. And she was like, well, they want to offer you Sophie. And I went, what? And I just burst into tears.
That's so lovely.
Because I think I went into the audition process kind of just showing up for myself.
Yeah.
I had felt like I had nothing to prove, especially because most of the people on the creative team knew who I was.
Yeah.
And I'd worked with them before. And I think that is such a nice place for a performer to be. You can just go and be like, well, this is what I can offer. You know what I can do.
Here's a reminder of what I can do, and as opposed to introducing yourself for the first time.
And it was one of the nicest audition processes that I've had, just because I didn't feel depleted or less than when I left.
Yeah.
Which is always nice.
Because that can often be the case, eh?
Most cases, more often than not.
You're just sort of one of many, thank you, next.
Yeah. And you're kind of like, okay, that's fine. What's meant for me will never pass me by. Then you get into your car and you cry, and then you you get a piece of cake, and then you go home, and it's like, fine.
Yeah.
When I got this job, I thought something big is going to shift in my life.
Yeah.
It's been 10 years since I played Charity Hope Valentine in Matric. That kind of kickstarted my career.
Who's that?
What is it?
So Charity Hope Valentine is the lead in Sweet Charity, the musical.
Oh, which there's so many musicals. I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know that musical.
So it's fantastic. It's like, it was choreographed by Bob Fosse. And the film features Shirley MacLaine, but it was originally Gwen Verdon, you know, created Charity Hope Valentine.
And this is while you were in high school.
Yes,
it was a production outside of your school.
No. It was our major production.
Oh, it was your major production.
Yes, yeah.
Okay,
because I went to the National School of the Arts. Obviously, our focus is, excellence and arts and academics.
Yeah, okay.
And,
so the school play that comes out of the NSA better be fucking good.
Yeah.
Because like you could forgive Bryanston High School. our production of Grease, it's like, oh, can you do a backflip? Cool, do a backflip. I'd imagine yours would be good. And we are going to get into your high school time. And I actually want to talk about what it would be like to be in Joburg's version of Fame. quickly just dial back to right now.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Don't worry. It started already.
Yes.
How long have you been doing it now?
Well, we've been running since the beginning of March in Cape Town. And
right,
in Joburg, we were here from April.
That's 2 months already.
Mm.
And you're going to continue for?
Another 5 weeks.
How long is the run in Joburg?
It's like 2 and a bit months. Well, no, a month and I don't know.
Is that normal?
Not really. Okay. It's because it's doing so well.
Right. Yeah. It is Mamma Mia in South Africa.
Exactly.
It's like we have basic crowds. Sorry to say that out loud on the air, but it's like...
Well, listen.
You know, Mamma Mia is like bread and butter for South Africa. It would be in the Netflix top 10.
It would be.
I'm going to be in that basic crowd in about 2 weeks' time with my whole family.
Oh, lovely.
I'm trying to figure out when to book because I've got a wedding next weekend and...
No, but you might not even get space, man.
Oh, really? Isn't that sold out?
No, when we booked for our tickets... weeks ago, they were astounded that the majority of the seating was already sold out.
Yeah, so weekends are completely sold out.
But how many shows a week is this?
8 shows a week.
Eight shows a week.
So it's a double weekend, a double double.
Double double, yeah. Tuesday through to Sunday.
And you are doing everyone.
Yes. I got a bit sick in Cape Town. So
yeah, because I'd imagine that's tough, eh?
It was, we are fortunately, we have such a strong cast.
Yeah.
And such a wonderful sense of holding one another for the most part. One has to be diplomatic, when you kind of talk about caste politics.
No, I can imagine that it's there.
Yeah.
Especially in a caste that big. How many caste members are there?
There's 26 of us, I think.
But what do you do when you actually get so sick that you can't do it? Because you've got to think of the rest of the week. You've got to think of next month. You've got to...
So that's the thing also is that we have a very strange culture in our industry in South Africa, which having worked with internationals, it was a very stark contrast in terms of how we deal with injuries and getting sick. And there's a great sense that we have to push through. We have to prove ourselves. The South Africans, yes. Whereas, in my experience of working with, people from overseas is that they stub their toe, I'm sick,
really?
And then they take off for a week. And there's very little guilt. There's very little scam. It's kind of like, well, I can take off, you know, someone will cover for me. But South Africans don't really have that mentality, not because we don't want to take off, or we don't feel like we should or we need to. We are often...
it's part of who we are.
Yeah, it is. I think
our fabric, yeah.
Exactly. Mm. And we have a very good work ethic, and sometimes to our detriment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have learned, especially on Phantom, that if you can't do it, don't do it. It is okay. The show will literally go on without you. And the wonderful Kate Normington, when I did eventually say, I cannot do another show, this was in Mamma Mia. And
So you have been able to take a moment.
I took one show off because I was battling a horrible chest infection. Yeah. I was man down. I pushed through 10 shows and I said, okay, I can give you two mediocre shows or one good show, and Jackie goes on.
Yeah.
And Jackie went on, and I saw clips, and she was just completely beautiful.
And I'm sure she appreciated it too, because she's been waiting in the wings the whole time.
You know, and I've had understudies that have literally been like, or people understudying the part that I'm playing, they would have pushed me down the stairs if they could have.
And that is so hectic.
And
no, but it's true. I mean, imagine doing all of that time and preparation.
And
to actually perform, which is what you're doing.
Yeah.
But imagine doing all that time in preparation to never perform.
And you don't get show fits because you're not performing.
And it's kind of like the nature of the beast, you know? That you are going to go on or you're not going to go on.
And you have to be there. It's not like you're a doctor where it's like, okay, give me 20 minutes.
Exactly.
It's like you've got to be side of stage.
Absolutely. But I mean, Jackie was wonderful, and it was a liberating experience for me to just go,
you know what?
I can't.
I have to save the other shows.
Exactly. Yeah. I have to think about myself.
But also your body, because like if you have a chest infection and doing rigorous exercise, you can give yourself like heart disease.
Yeah, you can take it further. Yeah.
Being on antibiotics and, you know, dosing up on prednisone, you know, so we can manage, you know, everything and expectations. And it was a complicated situation with the understudies having been teched yet. But, you know, as Kate said, it's not... You're not being replaced.
Mm. No.
It's just different. And when she messaged me just to say, I'm proud of you, you know, like taking the rest and, you know, just take comfort in the fact that you're not being replaced. It's just different.
Mm. Yeah. Also in that culture to just say, I can't do this. That's huge.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's massive. I remember like just talking about it. My only like version that I can relate to this was in Key Change in Cape Town, and John flew down, I drove down, and he was like full chest infection, coughing. Like I was like, is that COVID? That sounds like COVID. So I was wearing a mask and, you know, being careful. But then good technique is actually kind of shocking.
Unbelievable. When completely.
You're just like, how are you singing this? The whole fucking show.
His ability to get past that chest infection.
You have a full, like you hear people talk when they have chest and throat infections. And then you have good technique, you sing, it sounds great, come backstage, cough your lungs out in the intermission, you know, to get it all out, and you didn't cough once on stage. You're like, how do performers do this? You guys are like, because you're trained.
Yeah.
You're trained, and that's like hectic, right?
But marathon trained.
Yeah.
You know, like it's for that long haul. But speaking of the good things, what's the sort of dreams like? Do you sort of have ABBA just forever in your dreams? Are you able to shut it out, or is it just living inside of you?
So
do you know what I mean? Like I'm thinking of my school productions where it's like all the songs, you fall asleep to them, you wake up to them.
Funnily enough, because I grew up listening to ABBA.
Okay.
You know, as I think all of us did, you know, absolutely everybody.
Sometimes you couldn't avoid it.
Exactly. But it was kind of that it's always been in my frame of reference. But I didn't dream about the show at all, except when I started dreaming about this one song. It's the beginning of Act Two. It's Under Attack, which in my very humble opinion is one of the worst ABBA songs ever written.
Which one's Under Attack?
It's literally.
I can't. I've never heard
Under
Attack.
I'm being taken, about to crack. It's awful. Anyway,
it sounds awful.
I can't. Anyway, and it's a huge belt for me, and I've spent most of my career not considering myself a belter. You know, if there are people, I've
Delta
been...
means something so different to me.
It's like, she's well, a, Karuna.
She's
well,
a belter, but
she's a belter, dude. Just saying.
Like, so I've been, you know, very kind of like, Karuna's going to sing like a Disney princess. And
okay, so, you, so the sort you of know? Sweet
yes.
delivery, the not the like...
The soft, the less, it's not very brash and Broadway and, you know, like, I mean...
Like a Celine Dion would be a belter. Like,
exactly.
Big Mama yeah. Morton yeah. vibes, yeah. you know?
And I have found this huge voice in me in this show, which has been so liberating. But that song I dreamt about.
Okay.
And it's so funny because it's a night in the musical, it's a nightmare scene. Sophie's nightmare. Okay. She's under attack. Yes, yeah. Kiruna's nightmare too.
Lovely.
It's like Stanislavski method.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So there would be a performance tonight?
Yes. Yeah.
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 So Monday's your only day
what
off.
Is the, yeah. Okay, Monday's the day off. And then what time would you get to Monte Cassino today? What is one night at the production?
At the teatro. Well, I get there an hour before call time. And call time... is
call time is when you're meant to be there.
Yes.
Okay, so you go above and beyond.
Yeah.
Well, okay. No, well, that's good.
So our call time is an hour and 45 minutes before the show. We have half an hour of warm-up, so it's 15 minutes of physical and 15 minutes of vocal. But for me, I get there an hour before, just because it's easier for the wonderful Elsri Boerter, who's doing our hair. She just to spread it out for her, so the workload isn't so intense. So I go an hour before call time so she can curl my hair and do my things.
You get your hair done every night.
I'm so spoiled.
That sounds nice.
It's so nice. And then I kind of just chill. I catch up with some castmates or friends and get my head in the zone. I steam. And then we do warm up. And then I just go into my dressing room.
What is you're going to have to break that all down. What does get my head in the zone and what does steam mean?
So steam is literally... I sit with my Vicks sinus inhaler and I just, you know, breathe in hot air.
This is after warm-up? Before warm-up?
Before warm-up.
Before warm-up?
Yeah, and then I have a little bit of a break before I have to sing so that the vocal cords aren't so fragile, but there's a little bit of moisture on them. Especially coming from Cape Town to Joburg, that shift in climate was
that
quite severe.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Well, like Cape Town being more humid and Joburg being dry. Yeah.
I live in Joburg, obviously, but whenever we go on holiday, you don't think about it. And then you come back to Joburg and within an hour, your nose has like just clogged up, which is what you consider normal. But you only notice the difference after the holiday and you come back and you're like, why can't I breathe out of my nose? And you're like, it's because we're in a dust bowl and nobody should be here.
Exactly.
There should be a bunch of farms. Like no one would choose to live in Joburg. There is no water. There is no moisture.
Oh, I love Joburg.
But the best weather.
Yeah, but
in the country.
The best weather.
And the best people.
Yeah, you said it.
Yep. Okay, and then getting in the zone, what does that mean?
I kind of just focus. You know, like how am I gonna what am I feeling? How can I channel what I'm feeling into what I'm doing tonight, or just think about sometimes thinking about other things, putting on other music. I always make an effort to listen to other music. So I won't listen to ABBA while I'm doing Mamma Mia. Like, I don't actually tend to listen to ABBA or listen to musicals.
Yeah.
At all. Mm. I think it's important to kind of keep your brain in other spaces.
Yeah. Like, that makes sense.
So I put on my Spotify and I just chill, you know, kind of think, how am I feeling? What is this? What's my voice doing? And then just, it's like, I suppose, just a focus.
Because I'd imagine that every performance is different.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that from the band. We've played the same songs for, you know, 12 years now. And some people think, you know, isn't that boring? And you're like, no, every time it's different, right? Mm. There's a different reaction, or there's a different set of people looking at you, or there's a different energy in the room.
100%.
But you feel that, right?
100%, yeah. I think... I have learned in the past, I suppose the past year, that there is space for things to be different ballet has been, it's informed so much of my life in terms of the rigidness of it. I struggled with things being different if it was set like this.
Yeah.
But as I think I'm coming into my own as an actress, I've understood that it can be different and that it still has the same depth and it still has the same soul. And it's like, I can also have fun.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be...
If anything, that could give it more depth.
Exactly.
It could give it more soul.
And
because ballet, you can sometimes argue, is perhaps a bit too cold.
It's starchy.
A bit too removed sometimes.
Yeah. And I think I've learned so much about just letting things go and letting things be, which has been amazing, you know.
Yeah.
So, but there, in terms of things being like structured, it stays the same. But like you said, like responses.
There are those cues that have to hit. There are those lighting things that you have to be at a certain point at the stage.
Yeah.
But within that space, you can find that.
Find freedom.
Lovely.
Yeah. I'm so glad watching all those rehearsals and the shows I've done with Karina. And obviously we're talking about stuff that's much bigger in scale and in intensity. But I would just sit in my bass spots. And sometimes Brett would make us walk on and off stage, and that was the most stressful night, that time of my life. Walk onto a black stage, try to get past your music stand, pick up your bass, and then lights on. But like always watching the actors be like in the darkness, like hitting their spots. It's a lot, eh?
But it's the marathon of doing it night after night. You know, that's what's different.
Mm.
And that's what makes it a completely different thing.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, I think it was, from all people, it was Macaulay Culkin, the child actor, who said, it's amazing how each discipline has its own sort of, it's made for a certain part. So like filmmaking is the director's medium. It's all about them getting that thing and seeing their vision and getting them to do it again and realizing it. They can cut it, they can create
it,
right? The actors have got fuck all to do with the process in the end.
Actually, if you look at the form of it, it's the director's
TV
medium.
Shows are the writer's medium.
Mm-hmm.
And you know this, in the read-throughs, they often, especially in the sitcoms, they're sitting in the front and they're listening to the audience. Did they laugh at that joke in the read-through? Oh, quickly, let's change. And you see them sort of huddle like a sports team and, okay, I've got this joke, I've got that joke. It's all about the writers for TV show. And then for theatre, it's 100% about the actors.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, the director's gone. Sometimes they don't even sit in the shows.
Yeah.
Sometimes the director will do their job in the rehearsals and then leave.
Yeah.
Like, leave the city.
I can't imagine
for the show
that.
To continue.
That is so wild.
That does happen.
It's most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
You know, and the writers are long gone. Sometimes they're even dead. So it's all about you.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really interesting way to look at it.
I love looking at it. I love that outlook, you know, because it's the truth.
Yeah, so that you can embrace it and embody it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can step back when you realize, like, this is not about you, bud.
Mm. My word, that analogy from Macaulay Culkin just made me appreciate jazz in, like, a whole new way.
Yeah.
Just like, that's a musician's medium genre.
Yeah.
It's like... It's where you get to be a muso, right?
Yeah, totally. Okay, so let's take this little journey because we know where you are now. You're in the middle of arguably the most exciting production of your career.
I would say so.
Safe to say?
Safe to say.
So far?
Yeah. God willing.
Yeah, so far. Where did we grow up?
Joburg.
Okay.
Ain't no burger like a Joburg.
No burger like a Joe burger.
Yeah.
<Heard that before.
laughs> Whereabouts?
So I grew up in Craig Hall.
Okay.
I went to St. Teresa's Mercy Convent.
Okay. We sometimes have them over at the Bioscope to screen their set works.
Oh, okay.
And I must say, they actually have really good set work choices.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I was only there for primary school up until grade 7. And then I went to the National School of the Arts.
Okay.
Which was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Okay.
I always knew that I was going to be a performer.
Yeah.
I grew up in a performing arts household.
Okay. So, what did mom and dad do?
So, my dad was a composer.
Right.
And my mother's an actress.
Isn't mom a bit of a legend?
She is well known and respected in the industry.
Okay, Cole, speak about her mom, because you might not.
I mean,
maybe you can speak about
her. This is
what
I've heard through passing. Like, if I talk about Karina... and mention your mom. I can't remember her name now. It's been
Brenda.
So long. Thank you, Brenda.
What did Brenda do?
Like parents and grandmothers will immediately know who she is.
Okay. Over to you. What did she do?
So my mother was an actress.
Okay.
You know, she.
What was her full name? Her stage name.
Before I was born, it was Brenda Radloff, and she married my dad. And then she was Brenda Deva. for a little bit, and she remarried.
Okay.
But she's gone back to her old stage name now, which has been, I think, really great for her in terms of taking back her career. And so Mom was a very well-known and respected actress in the musical theatre. Okay. Well, in theatre in South Africa.
Okay, so it was more stage.
Yeah, more stage. I mean, she did a couple of radio plays and a movie or two, but like not, that wasn't her
forte.
Her forte.
Okay, you know, so that got you going, I can't see a world other than me doing this too.
100 I think I always, like I said, I always knew I wanted to perform. The capacity changed. You know, at one time I was going to be a ballerina, then I was going to be a Bollywood dancer. Then I was going to be in musicals. Then I was going to be a ballet dancer again. And that stuck for years. I woke up one day, I think I was about 12 years old, and I just said, I want to be a ballet dancer. And that's when everything kind of clocked in, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like I danced every afternoon for hours at school. I was super focused. I was like, this is what I want to do. And then I started singing. And I sang with Eileen Pilot, who was a well-known recording artist. Like, she did a lot of BVs and that kind of thing for Springbok Radio and all of that. But like, so I had contemporary training, which is when I first started singing jazz. And I thought, oh my gosh, I like this too.
I'm a double threat now.
What am I gonna do? What must I do now? And I just really, I started honing that side of my craft and this side of my craft, and then. Come a trick, I auditioned for the musical, which I hadn't done before. I did audition for a musical, but it was Songs of Migration, and I was not the right demographic for Songs of Migration.
I don't think so. No.
So then,
but you've got a mix of ethnicities within you.
Yes. Yeah. My dad's Indian, and
your dad is
white.
Indian, and your mom's white.
I'm a Windian.
A Windian.
Yes.
So, I'm learning so much from you.
I love that.
But yeah, that was my kind of journey into.
But just to go back, primary school, St. Teresa's.
Yes.
Starting to think about being a ballet dancer. Mm-hmm. What movies came to you around that time?
So.
The Puppy Love film is the first film you ever loved. What could it be?
So this, it's going to be a toss up.
No, it's nice when it is.
A toss up between the 2000 cult classic Center Stage.
Yes. And I'll tell you my relationship to Center Stage. Carry on.
Yeah. And A Chorus Line.
A Chorus Line. Okay. Yes. Is that an old musical movie?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
So it was made in the 80s. The musical originated in the 70s. Michael Bennett. And it's just the story of, it's an audition process of dancers for The Chorus Line.
Okay.
And I used to watch that movie every Saturday.
Every Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh, just one of those.
Yep.
It's got Michael Douglas in it?
Yes, it does.
Whoa. Okay.
I grew up in a ballet household too.
Oh, wow.
So my mom did it and then my sister did it. My sister did it in training as far as you can go.
Yes.
Not to be professional. Maybe there was a time when she could have thought that, but like as far as you could go.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually went to NSA once or twice a year.
Oh, wow.
For the Concours.
Yeah.
Which was, in many ways, one of the cuckest boring things you could get a 12-year-old boy to do, which is watch the exact same ballet recital with the exact same annoying song that you've heard in your house for the last 2 months play over and over again while little girls that look exactly the same as each other, because they've all done their hair back, they've all got a particular outfit on, doing the exact same dance over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So me and a friend whose sister also did ballet, we went and explored NSA.
Yes.
We went down passages and around. We sort of thought it was kind of haunted, which I don't, maybe it is. The ghosts of former child stars. But Center Stage came into my sister's life.
Yeah.
And as a result of my older sister being a ballerina, wanting to watch this movie, I was subject to it, and I actually quite liked it. It was a fun movie about a ballet dancer trying to kind of make it in New York, right, or in the city.
Yeah.
Is this the one with Zoe Saldana?
Yes.
Okay, because there's two.
And the lead is like some blonde chickie. I don't think she did much more in her life.
But Amanda Schull.
She was in Suits.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, she kind of became a slightly more serious actress.
And she wanted to be a ballerina. And then there's a great scene where she goes to like another dance class, yes. which is a more like freer, contemporary class. And they have this incredible dance sequence to Red Hot Chili Peppers' cover of Higher Ground.
Oh,
it is the best.
And, well, that sounds
and
good.
And I must say, I really loved that moment. Yes. And I appreciated that movie because right at the end, it like it double times. Oh, and yeah. I remember the person. And I remember at that moment the teacher going like, "Dance the shit out of
yeah.
it!" And she found her like freedom in that moment, a little bit to what you said, which yeah. is when you broke out of ballet mm-hmm. and you started finding the freedom in being free.
Yes,
does that make sense?
100%.
Okay, perfect. Now we're over into high school. What is it like being at a performing arts high school?
So I
how does like geography and science, does it even factor in?
It does. It Accounting. Really does. obviously when I went to NSA, I was expecting fame. We on our orientation week, we had to wear our old school uniforms inside out and kind of, the theme was royalty.
That's interesting. They made you do that?
Yes, because, you know, and then it was awful, but we had this grade 8 sleepover. Where, you know, we were kind of being introduced to the school, just basically being bullied and
oh, yeah.
having to sleep in the hall that was scary and cold.
The hall that I had spent so much time in.
Yeah, yeah. you and me both.
Yeah.
But I remember looking around there and going, I'm so happy to be here because I was surrounded by so many people who were just like me.
Yeah.
I
felt that way in varsity.
Yeah.
In high school, I was like, I'm surrounded by jocks. I like them. They're my friends. Mm. But like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I can't wait to go to a place where everyone like quotes movies.
You know, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so this happened in high school, which is so yeah. special that at that point. But does one have to audition to get in?
Yes. So there's quite a rigorous audition process. And they obviously... Because NSA is a formal Model C school.
Yeah, I was about to say, don't they kind of have to take some kids sometimes?
They do yeah. sometimes. So it's like, obviously, if there's a kid that is not so brilliant,
yeah.
but is fee-paying,
yeah.
they will usually make a concession for them.
Yeah. There's parts of it where legally you have to give an yeah. education.
That
especially
makes
if
sense.
You, especially if you live in the surrounding area of the school, yeah. legally you've got to take them.
But because it's a school of specialization,
yeah.
they have to be arts focused,
yeah.
right? But what is glorious about the school is that it is a school.
Yeah.
If someone has potential, there is there's always space for growth.
Mm.
And the way that NSA is structured is that it's not just about becoming an artist, right? We have people that are doing astrophysics. We have doctors, some of the best doctors in the world currently mm. came from NSA.
Yeah.
Because the academics is what you make of it. We have good teachers. We do the cap. They do the cap syllabus. So it's academic. Like there's a focus on academics as well.
Mm.
When I was there, if you didn't have over 60%, you weren't allowed to be in any of the major productions.
Okay. I was about to say, what is the, sure. how do they actually push you to pay attention.
and the thing about the dance department in particular is that because I think we are so, the dancers are so particular and they don't like to fail.
Yeah.
Most of us
right.
did quite well.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was not an academic.
Okay.
I was like, I just want to be a ballet dancer.
Why am I learning
I just want to point my toes. I don't want to do this. Then grade 10 came around and all of a sudden I just went, oh, I like doing well.
Yeah.
And then I just worked hard. Like my yeah. academics got stronger and
provided you've got some brain.
You know?
you can make it work, yeah.
And then matric came and I was, you know, I did very, very well. Because I wanted to, obviously, because I love it. But that's the thing about NSA is that it's a platform for you to just be excellent in every aspect
yeah.
if you make it like yeah. if you use what is given to you.
Did you live at home and drive through every day?
I did, yeah. I was
okay.
only 15 minutes away.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I did want to be in hostel at one point, and my mother's like, "Are you stupid?
No,
like,
yeah.
why?
Hostel's hectic.
Thank goodness.
Yeah,
yeah.
We've got our love, which is the high school crush. Now we're honing our ballerina-ness, eh? We're specializing in that.
Mm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
like, oh, I can be a singer and
there's
a
little
dancer.
There's a little bit of singing coming in.
Yeah.
But you are surrounded by talented, amazing artists.
And
was there any film that you can think of? It doesn't even have to be an art film. Like,
it's not going to be an art film.
Yeah, good. No, please.
So, I used to watch a lot of rom-coms. I still do.
Good.
I wouldn't actually consider this a rom-com, but the person I was seeing on and off in high school.
He was somewhere between a boy and a guy.
Yeah, he was.
That's what happens in high school. It's okay, don't worry. It's not a big deal.
Jason, yeah.
Good old Jason.
Good old Jason. Bless his
little heart.
So what happened?
So, yeah, it was just a dysfunctional high school relationship. Yeah. But
I hate how stupid that dysfunction is when you're young.
But what movie did you watch?
One day. And I loved that movie.
But the movie's called One Day?
Yes.
Okay.
It's based on a book. The author's name was literally at the front of my head and now it's gone.
But now, wasn't there, there was a TV show recently made.
Yes, but the TV show is extraordinary.
Okay, so they did the movie of it.
Beautiful. Yeah, this was years ago.
I didn't know there was a movie for it.
Yeah, and it's with Anne Hathaway and Jude...
Jude Law?
No.
Oh, it's David Nichols.
Yes. The author.
Yes.
And so I can't remember his name now, but he's that Welsh actor, I think. The one that was in Across the Universe.
Oh, he was Jude in Across the Universe.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, no, Ben Whishaw's a problem.
He played Jude, but in Across the Universe. But he...
Oh, no, it's not him. It's not Ben Whishaw.
What's his name?
It's Jim Sturgess.
Jim.
Yes, Jim Sturgess.
Jude, Jim, Ben.
He was
anything.
White boy names. Jim and Ben.
Across the Universe deserves a moment.
Oh, I love that movie.
Which is the Beatles musical, the Beatles musical film. That's really good.
What's the song he starts with singing
on
the
Beatles t-shirt?
A Beatles shirt on. What's the song he starts singing on the beach? With that beautiful accent. There was a girl. No, that's Moulin Rouge.
That's Moulin Rouge. Why is the song not being a song?
Yeah, when the camera is being walked up to him on the beach and he turns around and looks into the camera. Isn't it beautiful? Beautiful. It'll come to us.
So One Day, for those, I don't know whether the film version is still floating around streaming services, but it was recently remade as a limited series, which got everyone's attention. In the TV show, the woman is Indian.
Yes.
In the movie, it's Anne Hathaway.
Yes. So in the book, I think she's your typical English gal.
Oh, is it?
Which is what makes the casting of an Asian person so amazing, because we don't necessarily see romantic leads in that.
Yeah,
right.
Presented that way.
Okay.
Which is also why...
So
her name's also gone out of my head.
Mm.
I have a brain like a sieve.
It's okay.
But
you got lots of other things to worry about. These
is this the person in the series?
In the series.
Her name
is
Avika Mod.
Avika Mod. And she is an exquisite actress.
Mm.
She said the reason why she didn't take the job initially was she's like, me?
Yeah.
A romantic lead?
And
are you crazy?
But that's the point of the whole performance.
Yeah.
The whole time she keeps... Okay, so one day... Quick back of the box.
What's the back of the box? I don't know what's going on.
Quick back of the box is it's a relationship over many years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They sort of meet at a party and they could have maybe hooked up. They sort of spend the night together, but not literally. Mm. Well, it happens literally, but not figuratively.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got my English messed up. And basically, correct me if I'm wrong, but what you then gather... And it was especially good in the limited series because each episode hit them at a different point in their life as they got older. And it's the unrequited could have, should have, are we together, are we not together, could this have worked? A little bit like past lives.
Yeah.
Should we have been together? But what it pins itself to is a certain day in the year, which is like a particular day. That is celebrated in Scotland or Ireland or something.
There's rain and
it's like the Groundhog. It's like the British version of Groundhog Day, which is like on this day, if the weather is doing this, it means it's going to be a this kind of winter.
Yeah, it's going to rain for the whole kind of winter. Right.
And so that's got a particular name, that day. I forget what it's called.
Me too.
I hate that I can't remember things I learn in movies.
But by using that day, and specifically that day, because that day is saying we could go in this direction, we could go in that direction, mm-hmm. which is the point of the whole love story, which is if we had been together, if yes. this had worked, if we had made this happen.
I'm not going to watch that movie.
It was.
Okay, so what was the movie like?
So the movie.
And what has Jason got to do with this?
So Jason, shame. So he was kind of like my first really significant boyfriend. I'd always had boyfriends, you know.
So it was like a first love.
This is the high school crush.
It was a high school relationship. But the thing about Jason was he was very quiet and very reserved and had a really big heart, and he was 100% convinced that he was going to marry me. And I was like, no, what? No.
We're in high school.
We saw one day together at Eastgate. And it was not like a movie that I watched over and over and over again, but I think it is a significant movie in that time period in my life, because I did watch it like once, twice a year, you know, after that. And then, you know, Jason and I met up like 5 years, like after 5 years, he matriculated, he went off to Cape Town, and we were walking on Bloberg Beach, and he was holding my hand, and he was like, "Do you think you've met the person you're going to marry?" Ironically, I had met the person I was going to marry.
No ways.
But I was like, no, I didn't.
And he didn't know.
What? You know, you don't think you're going to marry me? I said, Jason, you can't be serious. Like, you can't really think that we're going to get married, you know?
I know.
And it was like, and he's like, I was like, I think you need to take me home. And he dropped me off, and because I was staying at the actor's house.
Okay.
And I was doing Joseph at the time, and I was a shenanigan.
Yeah,
I was on missions. I was like not interested in boyfriends, life, love, anything. And it was this whole, we had a push-pull relationship from when we were little.
Yeah.
And Jason passed away in 2020.
Okay.
And it's so, the reflection of one day and Jason was just, there was always tragedy.
Yeah.
Like surrounding him.
Wow. Yeah.
And
so, Cole, that's very similar to the male in the relationship.
Really?
Of one day.
Very
where
much so.
He does suffer from substance abuse. I don't know what Jason suffered from, but it was about his demons.
Oh, my God. It's like art-mirroring life.
100%.
Sorry, what was the Bloberg thing? Did you guys reconnect? And you were sort of together for a little bit. That's why you were holding hands on the beach.
It was like not even, because I'm quite an affectionate person
to
an extent. Because I don't like cuddling. much to my husband's dismay, but like, I'm not a cuddler, but I do hold hands and I'm tactile, you know.
Yeah, I'll touch you. Me too.
You know, but Jason took my hand, and it was such a beautiful day. Like, it was just walking on the beach. It was very peaceful.
But the guy, so you say you actually had met the person you were going to marry.
Yes.
But you weren't together yet.
No, no.
Okay.
No. All so right. We had just done a show together.
Okay, lovely.
How long ago was that?
2016.
That was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah, because
who is hubby?
I am married to the wonderful Ihu Madeleine.
That's a cool name.
Is that how you pronounce
Ihu? Yeah, but it's Hugo.
Okay, good.
he's very good at being like gauging whether someone's gonna get his name, but
how
it's
are you
Hugo.
Pronouncing
Ihu.
Ihu.
Hugo.
Because it's Afrikaans.
He's very Afrikaans. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I was friends with an Irene for so long, and she's like, "Well, I'm Italian, so technically it's Irene."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Aw, I could have been calling you something so much cooler for so long."
Exactly.
But yeah, so Ihu is a dancer, choreographer, actor.
Amazing,
you know, he's really great.
I love you.
Yeah, and we met on an awful show, but you know, obviously, his,
I've heard things about that.
Oh, it was so
I've heard
tough.
Things about that show.
That show. Oh my goodness. But he was with someone, and I was again on missions, like
vibing.
Okay, so one day was your high school crush, which
yes.
is perfect because that sets up
That's
this particular
story.
Relationship.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that.
Over into varsity now? Did we study varsity?
I didn't study.
Lovely. Did you just get straight into acting and
I did.
Performing?
So Sweet Charity really springboarded my career. It opened a lot of doors for me. Mm. Or kind of people just went, oh, who's this person?
Do industry people attend the NSA productions?
They do.
Okay. I would imagine that's a good hunting ground, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's also because the NSA equips you for the industry. A lot of NSA alumni manage just to go straight into the industry.
I would imagine, because that is your university. Because funny enough, as I said, you had that, your experience in high school was my experience in varsity, which is to be around, to hone the craft.
Yes.
So it makes sense that you're ahead of everyone else.
And it's 5 years of focused training, you know. It doesn't necessarily mean that you can't learn more, because you can always learn. Like, and there's some situations where I find myself in and I go, oh, I wish I had
just a couple more years or something.
Or the tools or the skills to kind of navigate this more effectively.
Yeah.
But then my mom always said, you learn better doing than you learn learning.
So now theater performer mom encouraged your career.
100%. Hey? 100%. I've been very, very fortunate that everybody's been 100% behind me.
Mm.
And a lot of people have just taken leaps of faith.
Because they can see it, man. And they can. And like, you know, I think I also had a trepidatious dad who was an accounts finance guy until he saw the school play. And he came home and he's like, I get it, man.
Oh,
he's like, I get it. Like, do it. Like, I can see. God. I can see it. I can see it. Like, you need to do this,
and,
you know?
And I think that's so amazing that you, like, because, I mean, I was at school with this one girl, and she was so good. She was so good, but her parents were still apprehensive.
Mm.
And she could have been such a brilliant dancer.
If left.
I'm going to hijack this for a second. Tell you my tragic story. So being a kid, I discovered movies through the TCM channel. So all the musicals with Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire.
Mm.
And that's how, like, a mixture of Episode One and musicals got me into movies. Actually,
Episode One being Star Wars.
Yeah. And that's kind of what got me curious about filmmaking. But very much before that, started with piano, was into music. And Brett De Groot actually saw me in my grade one play as Shere Khan, like living my best life in a tiger suit.
I was also Shere Khan.
Were you?
In nursery school.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
There's
I
a picture
that.
Of me High with five. Like a little paper like tiger hat.
Okay, we need to find this for the post for this and interview.
I remember thinking like, I'm not just, you know, I'm not just someone in the back. I'm not just the chorus.
Same. No. And I like being in front.
Yeah.
You know? And also
they,
was one of the...
They saw something in me.
Like, Constantia Cliff, terrible production of Sound of Music, but one of the Von Trapp kids, had a great time.
Okay.
And then shifted to Trinity.
Okay.
In grade five. And I remember new school, being shy, like new people. This has never happened to me before. But I was like, oh, I'm an actor. I'm going to go join the drama class. And everyone was new and strange. And I walked up to... I found it on the extramural schedule. I went up to the door and I could hear all the kids in the class like laughing and having a good time. And I was about to knock on the door to let myself in, and I was too shy and I walked away. And then also my mom and dad, my mom wanted to send me to the NSA for high school, because by that point my piano had like taken off and I was playing.
Yeah.
I was like,
no, you're a fantastic pianist.
Yeah. People were losing their mind over this young boy that could play piano, and she was super stoked. And then dad was like, no, he's staying at a Christian school. He's not going to a boarding school run by this government kind of thing. So like, and then my mom said, I'll keep him in high school as long as Trinity makes music a subject. Mm. And the principal promised. And then that never happened across the, you know what I mean? How hard is it to make, and it was a rugby school, hey? Even what? Getting the
but
arts.
Is it really a rugby school?
No, but they're not good at it.
I was going to say, what?
They're determined to make it a good rugby school, but it's not.
No, but your school that you went to was Trinity.
Yeah.
But that's got no link to when someone says they have a Trinity level of music. Okay? That's a completely different thing.
Oh, that's a completely different thing.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So in my head, I always put the two
so
together.
So that was my substitute. I studied Trinity piano all the way to grade
okay, so
eight.
You had two different Trinities happening
in my
at
life,
the same
yeah.
time. Yeah, no, fuck the rugby school, man.
So, well done to your parents for making the right call. You know, it's important.
I remember, honestly, like, I was always B team, C team sports guy, and I loved it.
Mm.
And I remember, because we had fun, right?
Yeah.
We could kind of play, but we had fun. And I remember once being in the change rooms, because I was now benching for the A team, and I got to experience what it was like to now play for this A team rugby team.
Mm.
And you'd love this moment. I put on my rugby jersey, look around. no one else has their rugby jersey on. I'm like, okay, when do we put our rugby jerseys on? And then I hear the coach going, when you put on that rugby jersey, I want you to feel the... And I was like, oh! I preempted that one. I didn't feel the glory because I just put it on real quick.
Because it's a jersey.
And I'm in a change room.
I would be the shittest coach of a sports team. I would just be like, guys, go out and just have fun.
Yeah,
like, we would not win, but we would have lots of fun.
Okay,
our last film, just to guide kind of perhaps an overall picture, is the film that you could settle down with. It's interesting that you have settled down. You've found a... What?
Hihu.
It's hard to pronounce.
Yeah, it's Hugo.
Say you in Afrikaans, you.
Does he get a lot of Belle the Police jokes?
All the time.
Yeah. What's that?
I mean,
it was a meme where there was like a fight that broke out in some like sort of like dodgy neighborhood.
Krugersdorp or Mutbank.
And the majority of the video is like the mom or the person behind the camera phone telling Hugo to phone the police.
So he goes, "Bel the police! Bel the police!"
Oh no, shame.
And so he probably lived a very normal life up until that video.
Yes, I think so.
It's like if you're a South African woman and your name is Marilise.
Oh, 100%.
I met someone the other day and I was like, "I'm so sorry," and she's like, "Yeah, I know." It just takes one little girl who can't ride a bicycle, and like the
your
rest
name is destroyed.
Big shout out to Office Space, that great movie where the guy was like, I had a very normal name. My name is Michael Bolton. It's a normal name up until like Canadian singer, whatever he's from. And it's like, no, it's the dumbest fucking name.
Oh, shit.
What is a movie you could settle down with?
So
it could be one of the ones you've mentioned before.
It's going to be a toss-up again.
Cool.
Between the fantastic and cheesy Love, Rosie, which makes me cry every single time I watch it.
Love, Rosie.
It's based on a book. Again, it's about these people missing each other in their lives. I don't know why that is a...
Have you watched Past Lives?
I've not.
That seems
not
to be a theme.
I don't know. Actually, that's the first time I've ever actually...
Like drawn this parallel.
That's what the show is all about.
Yeah.
Welcome.
No.
Who's in Love, Rosie?
Lily Collins and Sam Claflin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. When was it made?
2014.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's relatively new.
Yeah.
Who's she?
Oh, I know Sam Claflin.
I love Sam Claflin.
Yeah, he's gorgeous.
Who's the female?
Lily Collins. She's Phil Collins'
daughter.
What does she look like? What has she been in?
She's exquisite.
She doesn't look like Phil Collins, thank God.
Yeah.
She's in Okja.
Okja.
Yeah, Okja. Yeah.
Okja.
And she's in that Blind Side.
And she's in that god-awful Emily in Paris.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Is she the main in?
Yeah.
She Emily? Okay, well, that's the thing that everyone knows.
Yeah.
Okja made me vegetarian for like a good 10 minutes. No, really, I was like, I need to turn my life around.
Yeah.
And then a little while later, I was like, oh.
No, yeah. But I just love it. It makes me cry every time I watch it. Just
Love,
because.
Rosie. What's it about?
So it's about these two teens that are best friends. They've been friends since they were little. And there's a sense of being guardians of each other's dreams.
Okay, that's nice. Know,
which is
I would
just
like
such
a guardian
beautiful
of
concept.
My dreams.
Yeah.
I think we all want a guardian of our dreams.
Yeah, and I think that kind of sets their relationship up really beautifully. But again, so on her 18th birthday... They go out as besties and she has too much to drink and they kiss.
And they smooch.
And then she forgets. And then the next day.
She remembers.
Yes. Then obviously the next day she's like, oh, so embarrassing, like whatever. But she doesn't remember that they kissed, even though that they both love each other.
Yeah.
And their whole lives would have been so different if, you know, he had just said, this is what happened or, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then they miss each other for their whole lives, but they go to their formal dance and she falls pregnant. Like
with some other guy's boy.
Yeah, with a stupid jocks, you know, and he obviously is like, she's pregnant. He fucks off and then, you know, she raises this little girl, doesn't tell him, and then he finds out. And then, you know, it's just this whole, like, he gets married, divorce, this, like, she gets married, divorce, like, and then eventually she...
Is it a happy ending?
Oh, it's the most beautiful ending.
Thank God.
But again, it's set over a shorter time period in the movie than it is in the book.
Yeah.
The book, they're a lot older when they're, you know.
There was a movie, and now, Cole, I don't know whether you could ever be able to find it on your computer, but maybe you guys remember, but there was a really smart movie that was out, I'm sure it was on Netflix recently, where it was a really smart premise. She thinks she's pregnant at like a very young age.
Yeah.
And the moment she takes the test, the TV splits, like the screen splits into two stories. And the one is a story where she decides to keep the baby, and the other one is when she has an abortion. And you then watch the whole movie play out between these two versions.
Is it always a split screen?
No. So you it immediately just sets up the fact that there are these two paths that this person can go down. And, you know, the one is more career, the one is more like family and this relationship that she then has with her kids. And it's and there's this lovely moment, not to give too much away, but kind of how the two stories kind of come back together. And then it sort of gets back into the split screen, and you realize this kind of circle of the story. It's so smart. What the fuck was it called?
Actor?
No one famous.
Damn it.
Okay. I'll find it and we'll put it in the cash app.
Okay. Descriptions,
in the description of the
But you said it was a toss up between
That and
Ratatouille. Yeah. The most perfect film ever made, in my opinion.
Debatable.
No, I'm just saying, for I love it. I watch
Why
it.
Do you love it so much? Well,
I have
what
no
is it
idea.
About Ratatouille?
I love
Is it the ginger boy? Are you like
No.
Okay.
I mean
no,
good question
like,
because fair
yeah,
enough.
I know, because I'm that basic in animated films. I'm like the animated non-existent person is hot. I like it.
Like I just
I getting
don't
to live your dream, getting the world to see how talented you are.
Remy.
It moves me, but I actually think when I'd like have to think about it, I love the music so much.
Hmm.
Do they sing?
No.
Just
no.
The soundtrack
is just completely beautiful. Okay. It's the same way, I think, I mean, I don't watch Up because my heart can't take it.
Yeah,
fuck that movie.
But the reason why
The little Asian boy called Russell.
My first girlfriend laughed at me because I cried in Up. Yeah.
If you don't cry in the first 5 minutes of Up, there's something wrong with you. Like a part of you is broken.
Exactly. And
you
like,
should look into that.
Yeah.
It's just so moving. And I think, but again,
thank you
it's
for the memories.
The music and the.
It's going to make me
old
cry.
People, man.
It's hectic.
The love of old people.
Yeah. Ratatouille is a movie I can watch. Oh, and the B movie.
The B movie.
No ways.
The Jerry Seinfeld B movie.
The B movie.
That's okay. This is a safe space.
So I love animations, right? I really, really love animations.
I didn't know that.
So I know every word to the B movie.
That's awesome. I don't think I've really ever watched it.
Oh, it is.
It's Seinfeld being Seinfeld, right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
But I
just love it.
I just love it so much.
That's okay. You know what we've realized at the video store is that movies can be these comfort blankets that we, you know, pull over us at certain times in our life.
Absolutely.
They're always there for us. And that's what you want ultimately from a husband or a wife or a partner.
Mm.
Is you just want someone to just be that comfortable pair of shoes. You
Absolutely.
Know? And it just gives you a hug.
And it's so that these kinds of films always bookmark parts of your life, you know.
Yeah.
And it's always so interesting to revisit things that you used to watch or you used to listen to or that informed the way that you... Like, I'm so glad that I didn't watch New Girl when my personality was developing, because then everybody would have been like, you just like Jess. But now that I only watched it as an adult, and I feel like I'm not just like Jess because my personality developed before New Girl.
Yeah.
So
I'm my own kind of kooky.
I am my own Jess. But
No, because I can imagine many, many impressionable, probably females, watching that and going like, oh, this is going to be my identity.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to be the kooky Jess.
And people in high school used to be like, you're just like Jess. I'd be like, what?
What are you talking
about?
You're nothing like Jess.
I don't know. What are you talking about?
And then you watched it.
And then
it's
I watched it and I was like, wow. That's me.
Lovely. Listen, I think
hilarious.
We can chat forever, but I think we need to let you go. What can be a movie we can rent her?
Across the Universe. I rediscovered what the song is at the beginning.
Yes.
It's the... I'm not going to sing it. Can I sing it? It's
sing
early
it.
In the morning. Is there anybody going to listen to my story? All about a girl who came to stay. She's the kind of girl who... I got the
you
lyrics
want
there.
So bad it makes you sorry.
Still you don't regret a single day. Girl. And they have that Beatles harmony. Is it like, is it better with him doing it by himself? Or is it better with that Beatles harmony when they all sing it there? You know what I mean?
Combo of both, man.
Yeah, I think
they're both special.
He's on that Beatles, like stormy, like rainy English beach.
I mean, just an English beach.
Yeah,
it's just so great. It's such a true minor.
It's a captivating introduction, eh?
It really is.
It stays with you.
Yeah,
it is such a great film. And I remember watching it, going, "I love every fucking second of this movie." And there's even a point, and this is what I love, and I'm sure you guys will agree. There is a point, sort of just over halfway of this movie across the universe, where any mainstream normie is going to get lost.
Yes.
You know exactly where I'm talking about.
Yep.
It's when Eddie Izzard comes out and it's the Blue Men or the whatever.
Yes.
And just after the Ken Kesey trip scene.
I'm a walrus is Bono.
Yes.
Yeah, he plays the walrus.
No, but then...
Joe Cocker was also...
Okay, I know. I'm on the same page
but
now.
You know,
yes. I'm on the same page. Yeah.
There's just a point where that movie gets a bit weird.
Yes.
And that's when I was like, oh my God, what is this? It's so cool.
It's so cool.
And that's when any normie watching it with you is like, this is weird. And then you pull through and then you get the great love story. But of course, it's... Okay, so it's a... I don't know whether it was a musical, like a stage play.
No.
I think it was made specifically as a movie.
Yeah.
Your lead character's Jude, his love... interest is Lucy. You get where this is going. It's
Evan,
so good.
Is the Bioscope due for a screening of Across the Universe?
It should be. We should maybe do it as a Video Store Presents. We've done it as a date night. We should do it as like a sing-along.
Oh, you should, Russ.
Hey, we encourage everyone to just sing as loud as they can.
Yeah,
we've done sing-alongs. Let's do a sing-along of Across the Universe.
Oh, it's so nice.
It's so great, right?
I love the Beatles.
Yeah.
That film also convinced me that All My Loving is probably my favorite Beatles song.
Really?
Yeah. Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. I was just like, the energy of that song is so nice.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
There's a great moment where someone was interviewing Paul McCartney. You know, he had that new album. I think it was called Egypt Station.
I was about to say, is it called New? Because he had an album called New.
Oh, God. And he sort of said he was reluctant to ask him because, you know, everyone thinks that they, you know, they want to up their new material and they want to talk about what their new stuff is and they want to get behind it. And perhaps in some cases, artists think they're just getting better and better. And so he sort of phrased a particular question like, you know, is this your best work or are you happy with it? And apparently McCartney was like, dude, I was in the Beatles. My big days are behind me.
Yeah. One of the biggest cultural shifts in history.
He's
was
like,
me.
Everything I do now is just for fun. Like, I can't match the Beatles.
Yeah. It's so shit that we don't have 80-year-old Beatles, 70-year-old Beatles,
right?
Just old boys with guitars singing acoustic sets. Can you imagine how nice that would be?
I mean,
so
like the
nice.
Rolling Stones.
Yeah, dude. Fuck, I'd love to see them. Yeah.
Well, right.
Maybe there'll be like a hologram tour. And
I was going to say, they've done it with ABBA.
Yeah.
Can't they do it with the Beatles?
Apparently that ABBA show is amazing.
Yeah, they say it's extraordinary.
I think I'm going to go watch it in October when I go watch Dream Theater.
Okay, you're going over the seas.
Yeah, in October. Mm. If I can get tickets this morning.
Well.
Because I was paid. So I'm like, I'm buying tickets and I might go see ABBA as well.
And I'm going to spend all the money on holograms.
Holograms.
Yeah, exactly. People that aren't real.
Lovely. All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks
for visiting.
Thank you for having me.
It was such a lovely chat.
Nice.
Yeah.
And just all the best with the rest of Mamma Mia.
How many weeks do we have left?
5 weeks. Five weeks to get tickets. Yeah.
And I will see you in about one or two of those.
I can't wait.
Can we get tickets at Web Tickets or
Ticketmaster?
Ticketmaster only.
It's a temperamental website. So, but yeah, the weekends are almost completely sold out. So aim for during the week.
Yeah.
And they have that terrific Tuesday special where tickets are slightly cheaper on a Tuesday.
Oh, cool.
When you buy them on a Tuesday or for the Tuesday
show? The Tuesday shows.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Magic.
Yay.
Thanks, hey.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 All right. What a delightful chat.
I love her so much.
Such a sweetheart. She
was like one of the... And it's the worst thing about being part of these productions is afterwards people will give you like chocolates and things and say thank you for the run. It was amazing.
This
and
is when you finish doing
a performance
with it.
Yeah, when you finish the run and a performance. Yeah, or like with... It's a culture thing, right?
Yeah.
So like John will give us like amazing gifts, like really nice gifts.
Jonathan Rocksmith.
Yeah. But Karuna, and in the smaller productions, like One Forgets, or if you're not part of the culture, or if you're a dysfunctional musician, you don't think about these things.
Yeah.
And then Karuna gave me like stones that like have energies and offer protection and stuff. And
she like was crystals.
Like, yeah, like crystals, basically. And she's like, was for driving and keeping you safe while you drive. And I think she gave those to me. I was like, cool, rad. And didn't, it was neither here nor there for me about whether or not I believe in it. My friend gave me something. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
So I think those have been in my car for like 7 years.
Gad has a particular crystal or a, I don't know what it is, or it's a coin or something.
Okay.
And it's some patron saint of something, or he's Jewish. I don't know whether it's a Jewishly linked thing.
Do they have patron saints?
No. I'm getting this horribly confused. But whatever it is, it's designed apparently to get him good parking. I need him to confirm it. But it was like, I was like, what does this do? He's like, no, it's apparently designed to help me get good parking spots. Anyway, that's Gad.
Wow.
A little bit of fact checking.
Oh, a little cash up.
Let's
for ourselves.
Let's balance the till before we go home today. The film that I was talking about that deals with the person's pregnancy.
Yes.
It's a film on Netflix called Look Both Ways.
Okay.
Which is a very smart name. Yes. Once you know the movie. So the movie is, you know, where she takes a pregnancy test, and then the film splits into two narratives. One when she keeps the baby, one when she has an abortion. But yeah, it stars Lily Reinhart, who was in Riverdale. It's a great movie. It's a really great movie. So that's Look Both Ways, which is on Netflix.
Yeah.
Then the other thing which we couldn't remember at the time of talking is the day in the book and the movie and the TV show One Day, all adaptations of One Day. That one day is St. Swithin's Day. It happens on the 15th of June, and it's a day which, according to folklore, the weather for a subsequent period is dictated. So it's like Groundhog Day.
Right.
In popular belief, if it rains on St. Swithin's Day, it will rain for 40 days. But if it's fair, then you'll have 40 days of fair weather. So it like it sort of sets the tone.
Okay.
Which obviously is...
What if there's hail?
A metaphor.
What if there's a hurricane on that day?
Then it's bad. Then it means that things are going to be bad for 40 days. Like, it's quite simple.
Bad.
It's like one or the other.
Okay. So it's like
so you can
bad.
See how it's...
I thought it's going to be like literal hail for 40 days.
No, well, it's just that things are going to be shit.
Okay.
For 40
yeah,
days.
Exactly.
Like,
the
mood will be bad.
Mm. Right.
So, yeah. So yeah, so that's St. Swithin's.
St. Swithin's. Okay. Swithers.
Swithin.
Okay.
Swithin, which is a English.
Yeah,
English
sounds
thing.
English.
All right. Lekker duties.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Lovely day here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for wandering into our store. The home base is thevideostore.co.za, and we speak to other actors, other performers, so you can see all past episodes as well. And chime in on social media. Let us know what you think of what we've chatted about today, and go and see Mamma Mia.
Do it. It's freaking ABBA. Why would you not want to see it?
It would not disappoint. And yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks, guys. Thanks for a lovely day.
Mm.
And we'll see you again soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
TDFM.